That song is the title track to Windswept Perfectionist, the debut release from Toronto-based singer-songwriter and today's guest, Lucy Rose Cash. I first met Lucy when she was very small, freshly minted, you might say. My husband Ron and I are friends of Lucy's parents. Her father is musician and former Member of Parliament Andrew Cash, who is now President and CEO of CIMA, the Canadian Independent Music Association. He was also my guest for episode 6 of the podcast, so check that out if you want to learn more about Andrew. Lucy's mom is the wonderfully talented, beautiful, prolific visual artist, Michelle Shook. You can check out her work at michelleshook.com, and I'll also put a link in the show notes. So over the years, I've watched as Lucy's musical passion and devotion to her craft have intensified and bloomed. I remember the first time I saw her play and sing in public. I was blown away by her calm stage presence and obvious musical gift. Fast forward to last year's album release show for Windswept Perfectionist at the Transat Club here in Toronto, where family and friends of all ages gathered to witness Lucy fronting her own band and proving to us all that making music is something that she was born to do. I'm so glad that Lucy was able to drop by the woodshed to talk about her musical adventures to date. At the end of the episode, you'll also hear the Music Buddies session version of Lucy's song, Yes, Please. Thank you for being here. Please enjoy my conversation with Lucy Rose Cash.
It's all feeling. It's all love. It's all connections, that human stuff. So tell me where you're coming from,
where you're coming from.
'Cause I got time and the night is young.
Well, welcome. Lucy Cash. Do you prefer Lucy Cash or Lucy Rose Cash?
Either is fine. I mean, I go by Lucy Rose Cash for music, but...
You do, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
I do. So that's perfect.
Well, congratulations on your first album,
yes.
Windswept Perfectionist. It's a thing of beauty, 7 songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost, it's coming up on a year old,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel? Does that feel like, whoa, what's going on?
Or? Yeah, it feels weird. I feel like it just came out, but at the same time, like, I've written so many other songs since and like grown as a musician, I feel like, so much since then, because also I'm so young too. I am constantly just in my own life changing and growing, so my music is changing faster almost.
It must be. I mean, you have a definite style already,
mm-hmm.
but I can imagine how I've seen your Instagram feed and how you're
yeah.
all seem to be constantly working on songs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I must have met you when you were quite, because I'm friends with your parents, Andrew and Michelle, I must have met when you were a baby or just past being a baby.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what year were you born?
2007.
Okay. Yeah. So I would have, you would have been probably two or three when I met you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
And here you are.
I know. Oh, it's so funny. On the way over, I was thinking, I remember going to one of your shows. I think it was maybe for the Real Shade.
Uh-huh.
And like sitting, it was at some bar, I think that Sam, my brother, worked at. And I remember like sitting in the front row and like trying to read your set list upside down. And I just have such a vivid memory of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder where that was. Maybe the Cameron House or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I think it must have been. It's really.
Because I do remember you guys, you and your brother Charlie and
yeah.
sister came by. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah.
Tim might have been playing that night on drums.
Yeah.
He's here today with us, as always. But he's not on the mic today, so sorry, folks. You won't hear his normal witty banter, but hi, Tim. So Windswept Perfectionist, released about a year ago today, beautiful. And I read someone call it staggeringly personal, quote unquote. Would you agree with that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the album documents a really, like, difficult point in my life.
Mm.
And so I think it's inevitable that it is pretty personal. But the thing with that is I've never had a problem putting that out into the world. Like
that's good.
Some of these songs, especially I would say Forced Wisdom. Mm-hmm. I almost called the album Forced Wisdom of My Younger Self, but then I decided that's too much of a mouthful.
Right.
But that song especially kind of articulates just a lot of how I was feeling at the time. And still, that song remains like really personal and vulnerable to me because it's just everything that I was dealing with, and I was struggling a lot with mental health, and that's how most of those songs on the album were born. And
right.
So, yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. It's all me. It's like as personal as I have gotten.
So did it feel good to get those out and sort of almost talk about what you were going through, but in a musical way?
Yeah, kind of. It sort of reshaped each of the moments almost and made them something I could kind of swallow almost.
Like right.
A lot of things like relationships, like friendships that I've had, I have a really hard time compressing them and like thinking of them in a way that makes sense, and writing songs and a lot of the songs on the album are just a way of like distilling all of it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You also had said in the liner notes, I think the place I read the liner notes was on Bandcamp because mm-hmm. it's so hard to find liner notes anywhere else. I guess you've got it on SoundCloud too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But you say it's a challenge to perfectionism in all its intricate flaws. Mm-hmm. That's your quote. So I love that because for those of us prone to perfectionism, mm-hmm. of course it's a flawed thing because nothing can ever be perfect. So what's your take on that line that's your line? What's your take on it?
Well, I think, you know, I've inherited a lot of perfectionism and just developed it on my own. And going into making an album, I was like, this needs to be perfect because this is going to be out in the world and it has my name attached to it and it needs to be everything that I am and it needs to sound perfect and everything. It just turned into a whole mess of perfectionism. And
yeah.
It was through recording the album that I realized that vulnerability is messy. And in its own right, and it's kind of unavoidable. And it kind of was a bit of a learning curve and a rough kind of transition of like, oh, this isn't going to be perfect. And one song, Forced Wisdom, which I mentioned, the final recording of it that was released was the first take we did. And I did it live. I played guitar and I sung at the same time. And we did one take, and Jose and everyone in the studio was like, that's it. We got it. And I was like, no, let's do it again. Let's do it again, like a few more times. That's not it. There are vocal imperfections and like a couple cracks in there. And I was like, that's not happening. Like, people are not, I don't want people to hear that. And it was only until I think probably a couple days into recording that we listened back and I realized that, no, this is what needs to happen. Like, this is what needs to be released because it captures what I was trying to say. And it really, yeah, it encompasses the vulnerability of the lyrics in the moment.
Some of my favorite music is the stuff that's not perfect, you know, the thing that has those little cracks and flaws. And I'm sure you might feel the same way when you're listening to music. But when you apply that to yourself, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Jose, and that's Jose Contreras that produced the album and you recorded at his, was it home studio? Does he have a studio?
Yeah, he has
his
a little
place?
Garage studio.
A garage studio, nice. Mm-hmm. And so how did you get to know Jose? And he's from the band By Divine, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I know about him. But how did you get to know him?
Well, also in the band is Critty, who I've known since I was 8 years old, I think. And she is like who I have to thank for this album because I was in this camp called Girls Rock Camp, which took place at the Transac, and I walked in there not knowing how to play any guitar, walked out a week later knowing like your basic five chords, and I was set for life pretty much. And she was such a big part of that, and I reconnected with her many years later during the pandemic looking for vocal lessons, and we kind of did that through like looking at songs I had written and kind of figuring out how to better my vocals within the songs. And at the end of 5 weeks, she emailed my parents and was like, I think like we should make this an album. Like, I think we should record this.
Oh, great.
And she immediately said, Jose is like perfect for this, and connected the two of us. And we booked a session in the summer, and that's kind of how it happened. So really, I have Critty to thank for my connection with Jose.
That's so nice. And Critty, is it, that's her name?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And was she playing on your, I saw your album release, which was a great show at the Transact. Yeah. Was she playing that night?
Yeah, she was actually. She was on guitar and did some like harmonies.
Right. Yeah, she was great. And Jose was on drums that night. And his son was on bass?
Yes, yes, he was.
What's his son's name?
Misha Contreras.
Right.
Yes. And he's actually my bass player now, which is, I don't know, I find funny because his dad played bass during the recording and I worked with his dad. And then I was like, well, might as well like see if his son is any good too. And Misha's great. I was rehearsing with him today. He's
nice.
Yeah, it really runs in the family.
Yeah, obviously. And who was on drums on the album?
Julia Band Orange. She is a few years older than me, and she plays with School the Band, which is another band Critty kind of mentored. And yeah, again, Critty, like amazing as she is, was like, I think you guys would work well together. And yeah, that's kind of how it happened. And we are really good friends now too. And she's an amazing drummer. Yeah.
When you went into the studio, given that it was the first time you'd done it, like, you go in with this group of songs and then you have what you think and you hear in your head. But then what happened to them once they hit the studio and people started, you know, interpreting them in their own way? Were there things that surprised you or challenged you? Or
I think it kind of amazed me how much they were able to end up how I envisioned them, to be honest, which is pretty amazing. Yeah, it definitely was interesting. The song Laugh It Off has two choruses at the end. And it, like, that just was something Jose was like, I think this should have two choruses. And we're like, okay. And then we recorded The Beds with that in it. And that's kind of how that ended up happening. And it's just things like that that I think shaped the album. But it was definitely interesting and kind of tricky to realize that these songs weren't going to be mine anymore. And they were going to be released. And it was just something that I had made in my bedroom and were all mine and never, never intended on showing anyone else.
Wow.
And yeah, I just, they were shaped in a way that I hoped they could be, and in a way that made them better, thanks to like the amazing people I got to work with. But I'm still working on it.
You say you're fine, but I know you're a liar.
when you wrote them, you weren't originally saying, okay, I want to make an album.
No, not at all.
Interesting. But you'd been playing for, so you started out playing when you were, I mean, your dad's Andrew Cash. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful musician, songwriter. And your mom, Michelle Shook, is a fantastic painter. Your older brother, Samir Cash, is a fabulous musician. Mm-hmm. Your other brother, Charlie's in theater school. You're surrounded by creative people. Like, did that influence come early, like the musical side of it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I grew up going to see my brother play and my dad play, and and then just kind of all of his friends, and like seeing you play too was really amazing because I danced too when I was young, and I did acting, and I played music, and what really drew me was being on stage. Because you kind of get the same high regardless of what you're doing. You're on stage in front of people performing, and I loved that. And I think my dad encouraged me to play music a lot because he wanted me to learn an instrument, and I did. I took piano lessons and then guitar lessons. Yeah. But it was really Girls Rock Camp that started it because they signed me up for it. I went in, I think I went for 3 years, and you kind of go in for a week. You're paired with a group of girls, you learn an instrument, and you write a song, and then you perform it.
Amazing.
And yeah, it, like, I cannot, like, speak more highly of it. It's it was the most amazing experience, and it's the reason why I play music to this day. And at the end of the first week that I did, I was 8, my mom gave me a little, like, song book at the end, and she was like, you can write songs in this. And then that book is where I wrote Windswept Perfectionist and all the songs that are on the album.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What a beautiful gift from your mom.
I know. Yeah.
Like, she really nailed that.
Yeah,
right?
She did. Yeah.
So is Girls Rock Camp still happening?
It's not. I think it petered out with the pandemic a little bit, unfortunately.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know. It's too bad.
Well, I mean, the pandemic took its toll on everybody, probably including you, because you were right in the middle of high school, what would have been grade 8, 9, 10 kind of thing?
Grade 7, I think. Middle of grade 7.
So that kind of does a doozy on you, hey?
Yeah.
Does a number on you and your all your friendships and stuff. How, like, is there stuff that's still coming out creatively that has to do with that? Or have you moved on from pandemic times?
I think definitely because the pandemic happened when I was in, like, middle school, I would say, still, there are things coming out from that, especially the friendships that I had were, I don't know, I think middle school is uniquely terrible for everyone. And if I could skip it, I would. But it's the reason that I have these songs. So that's one good thing about it, I guess. But yeah, I had some really interesting dynamics and friends and peers at that time. And then the pandemic really heightened that. And I did, for all of grade 8, I did online school because my sister had an autoimmune disease and we weren't sure how the COVID was going to affect it.
Oh, yeah.
And so we stayed home. And I had a terrible teacher who taught lying in bed. He would, like, turn on his camera and he would have, like, double chins, like, in bed, like, lying there.
That sounds very inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. It was not good. He was a terrible teacher. So at a certain point, my parents emailed him and was like, I think Lucy's just going to do independent stuff and she'll send you updates every week, but she's just going to do her own thing now. Yeah. And so I wrote, like, screenplays and read books and things like that instead, which was probably a better use of my time. But during that time, I didn't have a phone. The only way my friends communicated with me for that entire year was through email. Like, thinking back, I know it was the pandemic and everyone was isolated, but I was very isolated from friends. And so I kind of just did my own thing and turned to, like, writing and music and any form of expression that I could.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you did some baking too, because I was a recipient of some of your baking
at
one point. Pretty amazing. That's a creative outlet.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But when you started to decide, okay, I'm going to go into the studio and this might be a thing that does reach the public.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find your friends reacted? Did they know that you were into being a performer, or were they surprised, or what was the reaction of your peer group?
It was good, actually. It's kind of a weird experience, there are two songs on the album that are about two different people.
Yeah.
And both of them know.
Uh-huh.
It's about them, and the experience of playing a song for someone that is just solely about them is wild.
I was going to ask about that because, you know, some of those songs, I was like, I wonder if this is about her or if it's about a friend or,
you yeah. know. Let Yourself Be Lonely is about a close friend of mine. And I played it for her I think one other friend was there, and it was like not a tuned guitar. I think we were doing like a film for some like film student. And I was like, well, I'll like play you one of the songs that's going to be on the album. And I had kind of told a couple of people, but it was slow moving. You know, there was the process of the demos, and then we recorded in the summer, but I played it for her and she started crying. And she loved it, I think.
Oh, so crying in a good way.
I hope so.
Okay.
And
that's what you want.
That is what you want. And yeah, we never really had a full conversation about it. I think I like left soon after like my dad picked me up, and we're not as close as we were then.
Right.
And so I don't like, she knows it's about her, but she kind of, I hope, has gotten something out of it and has been good for her in some way. And then the other song, Soft Spoken Kid, which is a little more harsh, I would say.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah. Was about a friend. And during my album release, as I was playing it, I was kind of singing it and just like singing it at her because she was there. And she came up to me after and was like, that was amazing. Like, I cried and I was like, well, I hope for good reasons.
You took your strong opinion.
It's a weird experience writing songs that people kind of know are about them.
Yeah.
So far, it's been positive. Actually, there's this is kind of an interesting story, but I posted a clip of a song on Instagram a little while ago. It was called Yellow Jacket. It was about this guy, and I had posted it thinking, and like I had asked my friends, I was like, if I post this, like, do you think people will know? Because I don't necessarily want that to happen. Like, I just kind of, I'm really proud of the song. I want to like post it. And they're like, no, it's going to be fine. It's totally fine. No.
Oh, no.
Nope. I didn't go to school the next day. I think I was like sick or something. And then I went back and I was walking down the hallway, and like two of his friends were kind of like in front of me and proceeded to sing the entire thing start to finish with a couple harmonies like interspersed. They're not singers, but they knew every single lyric, and it was the most surreal moment of my entire life. And just for a couple days there, I had people coming up to me and were like, I love the song, it's so good. And I was so happy about that, but I was also like, I hope people know, like, that was not a spiteful thing that I did. I was just playing music, and it turned into a really kind of interesting event in my life.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
ultimately, it's your expression, so you can do whatever you want with it, right? I mean, a lot of times people think the song's about them when it's not.
It's true.
So the opposite will happen to you down the road, too. It's like, no, that's not about you. That's about, you know, something else.
Yeah.
My dog, you know, or whatever. But you gaining popularity for what you're doing creatively while you're in high school, I mean, I can't imagine what that feels like because, you know, when I was in high school, there wasn't the same level of, well, there definitely wasn't the social media aspect. Mm-hmm. So now you've put out this album and now I'm sure you feel that there's some kind of pressure to promote it and do the, you know, you've got your friends, you've got your high school, so that's a good avenue, but we all have to now, as musicians, be able to promote and do social media and we just have to be able to, you know, be on camera and be able to do this and look nice and blah, blah, blah. So how do you handle that? Because you've got a pretty healthy Instagram feed and you seem to be really good at just putting yourself out there. But is it hard sometimes or what does it feel like?
I am so glad it appears that way because it's definitely not the case. I think part of my generation, everyone is so online and so posting everything. And because I was really late to the social media game, I really struggle with it, I think. And I know it's something that I need to do. And Sam, who is like a musician as well and knows how to market himself.
Your brother?
My brother. He will text me sometimes and be like, this is great, but next time do it slightly shorter and put the lyrics with it so that people like know what you're saying and they'll watch it through and that'll help with the algorithm. And I'm like, okay, this is so good. This is so helpful, but it's so overwhelming because I don't know. It's just also part of me. I'm just like, well, I want them to hear the full song. I worked on it. And it just is a weird thing to have to like record myself singing and then kind of watch my face, not only my vocals, but my face singing, which I find kind of weird sometimes.
We all do.
Yeah. It's like very, very strange. And then posting it, and I try to, after I post something, like put my phone away for a little bit because hearing those like buzzes of like people like interacting with it is really stressful. Yeah, it's not something that comes naturally to me, where I feel like it might for other people, but it's something that I'm proud of that I've worked on. And so that's one thing, I guess.
And I guess it is kind of one type of performance, really. Mm-hmm. And you say you like performing.
Yeah.
So I guess, and I'm sure that applies to just doing shows too, right? Those are enjoyable for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You don't get nervous or anything? Or do you get nerves?
I don't
unhealthy
think
nerves?
So. No. Yeah. Honestly, I am a very like busy person. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm always doing something, whether that's like school or music or just anything. I feel very frazzled a lot of the time because I'm just like, this is happening and then this is happening.
Right.
And that's how I feel doing a show is I'm doing things, and then everything is like still and I'm playing. And so I never feel like I have time to get nervous. And I've also been going on stage since I was very tiny.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think every opportunity I had when I was younger, I went on stage and I played and I did something and I got really nervous then.
Right.
But I'm really grateful I did do it because now I don't really feel it as much.
Do you find it's a safe place to be when you're on stage? Does it feel like, okay, this is great. This feels like home.
It really does. Yeah. It's interesting because I sometimes have a bit of a hard time not kind of just zoning out because I know all the songs so well and I could theoretically play all of them muscle memory, but that's not the point of playing live. The point of playing live is feeling it and feeling with the audience. And I think sometimes that's hard because the songs are so personal. It is difficult to, like, it's easy to share the songs. It's difficult to share the emotions of the songs.
Right.
And, you know, I've played a lot of songs with people in the room that maybe don't have my best interests at heart or, like, are not my biggest fans. I'm not their biggest fans. And it's really interesting to kind of play a song and, like, look at them and I don't know. It's just a weird experience, but I wouldn't trade anything for it. I love it and I crave it, and like, it's the best high ever. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Your music's very melodic, and it's beautiful, and it's, you know, it's got a verse, it's got a chorus, you're playing a lot of time, you're playing acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the state of music and songwriting these days? I always hear people complaining that, you know, music's not what it used to be, but then I hear all these young artists such as yourself who are writing amazing songs. Have you found inspiration in your peer group, or who do you look to for your songwriting inspiration? You know, whether they're new artists or artists from the 70s or whenever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that because of social media, there's so many more artists, it seems, trying to share their music with the world. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because you can find such like a niche artist that fits the exact feelings that you're having. And that can be really comforting and really beautiful too. Mm-hmm. And it's been really nice to kind of find music that affects me, and that's kind of how I go about forming my music taste and seeing what inspires me is what kind of hits me like a gut punch a little bit. Artists like Leith Ross, who kind of did the Instagram and the TikTok thing really well, but she is kind of has a similar style to some of my music, I would say, where it's really soft. Her lyrics have really, really inspired me. And Maggie Rogers, too. She's definitely bigger, but her album Surrender has been, like, really has changed the way that I think about music and write music.
Wow.
And honestly, the list goes on. Obviously, Joni Mitchell has always been someone that I've looked up to since I was young, thanks to my dad playing her when I was little. And so it really, to me, I think it doesn't matter whether it's a big artist or an old artist or a new artist. It's what inspires me. And it kind of, I go through life kind of looking for whatever that is, kind of like eyes closed, just like seeing what works and what doesn't, and then
sure. Do you remember the first song that made an impression on you when you were really young, just going, okay, that song?
I think this is really funny, but I think it was Early Morning Rain.
Good choice.
Yeah, it
Gordon Lightfoot.
Just the line, like, pockets full of sand. It's like just that.
Yeah.
For some reason, I have still such a vivid image of what that looks like. I sculpted kind of a whole story around it. And my dad and I actually, when I knew how to play guitar, so I think I was around 8, we played it together. And I think he kind of like edited out a couple of the lines about liquor and women, but which I didn't know until like recently I was talking about it. And he was like, yeah, we kind of stopped after the first verse because it gets a little weird.
You forget, it gets kind of salty.
Just a little bit. But that song also too, because my dad was a politician at the time.
That's right.
And always traveling and always gone, it seemed like. So that song of like, miss this like hurt and like missing someone, that song to me represents like a distance of miles and also just like a distance of a person that you love.
Wow.
And so
that's so cool.
Yeah, that song really, like, I don't know, something about Gordon Lightfoot, like I loved it when I was younger.
the early morning rain with a dollar in my head, with an aching in my heart, in my pockets full of sand. I'm a long way from home. Lord, I miss my loved one so. In the early morning rain, with no place to go.
Out on the runaway number. And now, I mean, you're in school, you're writing songs like crazy. Does your songwriting ever get in the way of your schoolwork?
It's an excellent form of procrastination, I would say.
Yeah,
there's been a couple times where I have finished a song instead of studying, and I like have just the best ideas for songs and the best lyrics when I should be doing functions or chemistry. But my parents, I think because I'm a good student, I get good grades, and if they'll like come up to my room and I'm playing guitar and maybe I should be studying, they're just, okay, like, do your thing, and I get the grades and I get the songs, so it's good. But yeah. I honestly, any chance I get, though, I have included songwriting into school. You'd be surprised how many like projects you can kind of manipulate. So it's actually, can I write a song instead? And they're like, sure.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying your school life? Like, you like school in general?
Yeah, I love it.
And you're in the drama program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, people are really surprised by, which makes sense because I do music, but I'm also in drama.
Yeah. And so you've got a play coming up soon, mm-hmm. a school play that's coming up.
Yeah.
And this is Etobicoke School of the Arts, mm-hmm. I guess we can say it. So what's the play called?
It's called The Visit.
Uh-huh.
And it's about this woman who comes back to her hometown, and in Germany, I think it was, and is like, and the town is really poor, and she says, I will give you $1 million if you kill this one guy.
Oh.
And so it's the entire town like kind of goes corrupt and does end up killing him. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun. It's, again, just an excuse to be on stage.
Yeah.
And I think the show dates are the 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Of May.
Of March.
Sorry, what month are we in? Of March.
Of March, yeah.
Okay. Can the general public go?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll put the link in the show notes for people if they want to buy tickets. So we're going to do one of your songs today, mm-hmm. for the Music Buddy session. It is called Yes, Please.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of versions of you doing it on Instagram, and you sent us a demo. It's awesome. And you wrote this one with your friend Mia Fernandez,
mm-hmm.
right?
I did.
And she's also plays keys in your band. Is that right?
Yes, she does.
She was great at your album release show. And you guys seem to have a really good rapport.
Yeah.
What's it like to write with your friend?
I've written songs with a couple different friends, but Mia is my person, like, and I will know her for the rest of my life. And so songwriting with her is kind of the same as writing by myself, to be honest, except sometimes I'll be like, oh, what about this? And she's like, I don't know. And usually it's right, because usually it's not great. And it just kind of weeds out the bad ideas a little faster.
Huh.
But it's, I don't know, it's hard to describe writing with like other people, because writing with Mia is kind of writing with myself. We share the same brain at this point,
amazing.
To be honest. But it is interesting. A lot of the storytelling and narrative shaped around this song comes from her. I think she is so oriented around telling like a story, where I think I kind of hone in on like specific like feelings and thoughts. And so those two combined kind of created Yes, Please, which is like this whole kind of amalgamation of like story and like love and these different feelings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And so do you feel like with her, you're able to just be straightforward and honest with each other? Like, yeah, like you were just saying, no, that doesn't really work, or that does work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really a nice thing to have.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to playing that with you today. Now, you've got, you know, another year of high school.
Yes.
And you're going to keep playing gigs in that meantime, right? You've got gigs coming up. You've got a band.
Mm-hmm.
do you want to just hit the road, or do you want to like, what's happened, or what are you excited about? And all, you know, maybe in the summer too, are you going to do stuff in the summer?
I want to play music as much as I can, and yeah, playing shows until I graduate, and then I would love to go on tour. And the thing is, because, you know, my brother and my dad and my uncle have all been touring, they have not glamorized it for me in any way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad is like, tour is terrible. Like, no, don't. Like, he obviously is encouraging, but he's like, it's not always glamorous, and not like by any stretch of the word, but it is something that I really want to do. Mm-hmm. Over the summer, like last summer, I ended up playing 3 shows in the span of 1 week, just in Toronto, but at a bunch of different places like the Dakota and the Transac, which we kind of joke and call it like a tiny, like mini Toronto tour. Mm-hmm. And just that, doing that and be able to play for different audiences and seeing the different kind of vibe and sound of different places was really, really amazing. And I do want to go to university.
Oh,
I really
do. Okay, yeah, good. For
writing or for something. And if I can do music at the same time, that would be ideal, really.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to achieve that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because you're kind of doing all the right things, got all the right influence and stuff. Speaking of, what's one of your favorite songs of your dad's?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I love Raceway. And I think for his birthday once, I actually learned it on guitar and I played it for him.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I think that's one of my favorites. I love the Cash Brothers because they're like, the voices together are so good. And
yeah, I don't even know if I mentioned your Uncle Pete.
Yes.
Great singer, great songwriter.
Who is saved in my phone as Billy for some reason. When I was younger, he really wanted me to call him Billy. And I still don't know why, but it's stuck. Yeah, the two of them, their voices together, I think, are amazing. And obviously his solo stuff too, because he made it at a time where it wasn't online. We kind of have like found like CDs and cassettes and all of these like different ways of listening to music, because not all of it is accessible like easily.
That's right.
Which has been really fun and really nice.
And do you guys do jamming together? Do you and your dad jam together still? And
We do actually. We had a block party for our street a little while ago, and we played a couple songs together for that, which was great. And yeah, we sometimes, obviously we're both really busy, which sucks, but yeah. Sometimes we'll, on a Sunday morning, both have some guitars out and do something. But when I was younger, we would do that a lot and play a lot together, which was pretty amazing. And I think something that formed my love for music early on.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Standing at the raceway.
Well, I'm so glad I know your parents, and I'm so glad as a result that I know you.
Yes.
And that I've gotten to know you over these years. So it's really great to get to sit down and chat with you about your music. You're incredible. So let's go play your song now.
And let's do it.
See what happens.
Yes.
Okay. Good luck with the rest of the year and whatever's coming up in the summer.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah. It's great to see you.
Yeah.
Okay, for the Music Buddy sessions, here's a brand new song by Lucy Rose Cash, Yes Please, performed by Lucy, me, and Tim Vesley, recorded and mixed by Tim.
If we painted walls colors of our bruises, our rooms would look pretty cool. Would you tell me if I looked funny? So my anxieties won't pool. Chase away all your worries with mindless hours of song, and we'll bury our deepest fears by dancing on them all night long. Feet trip, hands grip, and we fall in slow motion. Eyes dance, they meet yours and ricochet down to the floor where books lie. Spines cracked, your hand trails down my back. Pages turn weak in the knees, and all of me says yes, please, yes, please. You flirt, but only with danger. You spill compliments over my anger. So we'll dance, spinning silly arguments we used to laugh about. So I'll dance, drunk from the streetlights, stumbling home, singing carol all night. And it's too late, it's too late now. Limbs fall, lay back my hands in your hair. Close the space between us with the lights out. Weighted breath and all my doubt holds weight that traps us, holds us down. And now the sound of your voice, it haunts me. You're the only ghost I want around me. Yes, please, your shadow's better than nothing. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, I'll take you. Please don't break me. What I'm giving is all I got for you. Yesterday said, please just stay. I'll glue you here to the sticking place. I'll get lost. All of you comes back, but at what cost? I don't owe you anything anymore. All the pieces of us wrapped up and slid under your door. The play is done, the game is over. Cut through an alleyway, getting lost on the subway. Turns out you'll live years without me anyway. Slow motion to the floor. Your hands rest down my back, and I'm weak in the knees. Yes, please.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Music Buddy is brought to you by Morning Run Productions. The show is produced and edited by me, Jane Gowan, and my co-producer is Mr. Tim Vesley. The podcast is listener-supported and ad-free. So if you enjoyed the episode and would like to throw a few bills in the tip jar, please go to musicbuddy.ca/donate or look for the icon on the top right of our website or the link in our link tree. We really appreciate anything you can contribute. It helps us keep the motor running. Please help us grow our Buddyful community by spreading the word on social media or telling your friends and family about the show or rating and reviewing on your favorite podcast app. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Music Buddy Podcast and TikTok at Music Buddy Pod. I'm at Jane Gowan on Twitter. You can email me at jane@musicbuddy.ca. I love hearing from our listeners. I'll be back in a few weeks with another episode. In the meantime, if you have to be a perfectionist, be a windswept perfectionist.